Interestingly enough, after we've taken up two offerings today, I am going to speak on giving. Now, this is your opportunity to clap or yell or scream. Please don't stand to your feet because it'll take too long to settle you guys down. But we're going to talk about giving today. Every person who has a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ needs to also have a commitment to giving. It's a part of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no way that I can do this cheerfully enough, excitedly enough, you know, dynamically enough to motivate you emotionally. This is not the issue. The issue is, what does God say about us giving? And I want to erase a whole lot of things, because usually when a pastor is in his home church and he's talking about giving, you think immediately this is about what we do right here in the context of this church. But it's really about what you do with your life. It's about you not only giving your heart and your life and your resources to God, but understanding what giving is, because giving is a blessing, all right? So you want to take a deep breath? Whatever, you want to take your wallet out and sit on it so you won't be worried about all of that? You want to bury your checkbook deep in your purse? Get rid of your credit cards? Okay, all right. So here we go. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this, all right? Father, I pray that you will just bless this opportunity for us to look at a circumstance that we know is a part of our life. We read and we understand that you are the one who taught us to give. Now I pray, Father, that we will embrace you and who you are and the spirit that you give us. Literally, Father, give us the spirit of giving today in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know little children? It doesn't matter how you measure it. The problem is that most of us are like little children. We're selfish. We really don't like to share our things. We don't like to give our things away to other people. You know, we're territorial and that type of thing. And we understand that. I mean, it's no problem. It's the same thing with our money. It doesn't matter how old we are. We're a little bit selfish. Now, most of us would say, no, we're conservative. Well, great with the titles, but the problem is we're selfish. Money always has this emotional attachment. And you know what? If you've noticed this, credit cards and stuff like that give us a detachment, or gets us unattached from our emotion there, because it's just numbers on a piece of paper instead of money that came out of your pocket. I have in my grasp here a $50 bill. Who would like a $50 bill? Good. You're not getting mine. You have to go out and earn it. All right? Find somebody else's. Who's on the $50 bill? Benjamin Franklin. Congratulations. Wrong. Grant. I mean, I didn't know that until I picked up a $50 bill, but I've got a $50 bill right in my hand. Today we're talking about money and $50 bills. They feel good. It smells good. I don't care what it smells good or where it's been. It smells good because it's in my hand. $50. Understand that. Now listen, I got to be careful with this, because the bank said, get it back to me quickly. I know what's coming to your house in the mail, and we want our money, all right? So I understand the system, and you do too. But this is what we do with money. We hold on to it tightly, and we should. But the problem is if we hold on to it real tight, then the problem is nothing can get in and nothing can get out. That's the problem with money too many times. If nothing can get in and nothing can get out. What if your heart decided that nothing could get in and nothing could get out? You would die. What would happen with your plumbing at your house if nothing could get in and nothing could get out? Then you would get clogged up. Everybody knows what an old pond is, you know. The water runs in, there's no outlet. Next thing you know, it's full of scum and stuff like that. It's not an attractive place to be. That's because it's all clogged up. And God says, I don't want you to be clogged up. We believe, however, to have more is to hold on to it tightly. You know what God says? God says the only way you're going to get more is that you become a giver. You got to be a giver. Be givers. Now, we think this is about protection. You know what it really is? It's about possession. It's about possession. And we need to understand what God says about giving so that we can be a better giver. Now, listen to me. I didn't say that you can give more. God tells you what to give. I don't tell you what to give. The Holy Spirit leads you what to give. I don't do that. If you think that I do that, if I have that much power, then give more. All right? I'm not selfish in that respect. I'll say, give more. All right? But the deal is, you need to listen to God. This is all connected with God and not Pastor Dave or the budget of the church or anything else. It's not even attached to Adam and Bethany. This is attached to our heart, which is attached to God, and that's why we need to understand this. Did you know that a clenched fist is an international sign of anger? I mean, that just means you're angry. But you know, an open fist, you know, I mean, it's friendship. You know how that experience with the handshake, you know how that started? Back in the old days, the Wild West, they would extend a handshake to prove that they don't have a gun in their hand. I'm glad we don't live in that world anymore. We live in the world of conceal and carry. Don't mess me around, buddy, because I'm packing. I'm telling you. Okay. Hey, today you're going to go home, and what you're going to do is you're going to ask your children, what'd you learn in church today? And they're going to go, nothing. You're going to say, well, what'd they talk about? God. I'm going to give you the opportunity that if they ask you, what did you learn today about mommy and daddy? You get to tell them this. We learned how to catch a baboon. Watch this video. To catch a baboon.
He laboriously drills a hole in a giant anteap when he is sure a baboon is watching him because he knows baboons are incurably inquisitive. Next, he puts some wild melon seeds into the hole and works them in so that they drop into a hollow. Then he saunters off, knowing the baboon is burning with curiosity. The baboon doesn't trust that human being at all, so he plays it cool. But he's dying to know what gives in that confounded hole. Finally, Mr. Inquisitive can't take it any longer. He's got to know what's in there. He reaches in, grabs a fistful, and now his hand's too big to come out. If he had the sense to drop the seed, he could free his hand. Now he lets go when it's too late.
I wish I could help you with possums. I wish I could help you with skunks. I wish I could help you with squirrels. I wish you'd learn how to kill moles. I'd bring you to my house and pay you good money. But I can't help you today. This is how you catch a baboon. Can I just tell you that this is the way that sometimes we get entrapped in? We get entrapped by things, you know. We just grab onto whatever. We hold on to it. And the simple thing is we should let go. But we don't make nothing. It somehow just doesn't compute. There you go, write that one down, would you? It doesn't compute, and next thing you know, we're just in a trap. So here's the thing that I want you to do. I want to share some things with you about giving today, and these are going to help you. They're going to free you up. They really are. First thing is this. If you want more, you have to let go. If you want more, you must learn how to let go. You can't hold on to that thing. That 50 will only stay a 50 until you let go of it. But God can use it to turn it into a lot of things. If you will just let go of it. Number two is this. God owns it all. Everybody say that with me. God owns it all. The problem with us is our perception is this is mine. I went out and I worked 40 hours this week. I did this. I performed this service and I got this money and that's why it's mine. You know, we want to hold on to that. And we gripe about the fact that the United States government took some of it. I mean, that's just a part of the plan, right? You know, it's part of the argument. But, you know, this is mine, and we forget that God is the one that gave us the opportunity to be here on earth, that gave us this life and this body and this breath and this energy and this ability and that job, and we forget that God does that. Now, I'm not saying we totally forget, but we don't kind of remind ourselves that this whole thing starts with God owns it all. Everything belongs to Him. We're only the managers. We're not the owners of this. My responsibility isn't the money. My responsibility is what God wants me to do with the money. That frees you up. That's God giving you some direction. Psalms 24 verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The earth, everything around us belongs to God. This church belongs to God. Your finances belongs to God. Your car belongs to God. The breath that you have in your lungs belongs to God. The blood that flows through your body belongs to God. The abilities, the talents, the things that you have, it belongs to God. And the minute we transition our thoughts to that, it changes everything. Now, even the money belongs to God, and we listen to what God has to say. Another thing is this. There's this word steward that we need to look at. It's involved in the Bible. The word steward was introduced to us by the translators of the King James Bible. A steward is somebody simply who takes care of somebody else's finances. By definition, it's this: one who manages another's financial affairs or property. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 42 says this, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom is the Lord's shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" God gives us money. He asks us to be responsible for it. It's His money. He's just asking us to manage that money. And He allows us to do an awful lot of things with it. God is very liberal. I don't know if you've thought that or not, if you've discovered that or not, but God's very giving. God really, really, really gives. He blesses us. He takes care of us. In abundance, He takes care of us. And most of the time, whatever we do with His money, with this life that He gives us, with the possessions we have that really are His, we get pretty stingy with it. And we need to be careful, or else we're going to get into a trap. It's this point in life where we realize that things flow through me and not just to me. Money doesn't just come to me so that I can hold on to it and decide what I want to do with it. It's God wants me to go through me. Because listen, that work week you talked about, that money's going to go through you one way or the other. You got to pay bills. You got to put gas in your car. You got to pay utilities. So it's going through you. And God says, I want this money that I give you through the ability to do this work or however you get your increase, you plant things and sell it, whatever. I want you to understand this is to go through you as well, because I don't want it to just stay there. Listen, we're a conduit. It moves through us. We're not the final destination. And we need to think differently along that. God has some pretty good things to say about the stuff that we get. Listen, the Bible also says, if you do not provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. God says, I'm going to bless you. This isn't about I'm going to make you live so meagerly it's pitiful. I'm going to make you just eat bread and water. Now, that's the way it feels, and I don't know why. Somebody made it feel that way. It wasn't God. It must have been the way that we preached it, and I don't want to do that today. It's easy to spend somebody else's money. Have you ever noticed that? It's easy to spend God's too if you'll just listen to the way that He tells us that we should spend it. It's not a problem at all. It's His money, not ours. Now, let me just share a couple other things with you. Why does God tell us to give so often? Well, here's a couple of things that most people think. God needs my money. Oh, really? Really? Have you noticed what God has in His bank account? Have you seen what God has at His disposal? He really needs our money? Let's reverse that just for a second. God doesn't need our money. He needs you. He needs us. That's all He needs. If He has us, everything else is going to fall into line. We need to understand that. There's over 850 scriptures on money in the Bible. You realize God talks more about money than He does love. I wonder if it's an important subject. Do you think it's an important subject? Of course it is. It's not because I picked it out today. It's because it's important to God. The other thing is sometimes we think, well, the church needs my money. Well, yeah, the church needs money to operate, but the church doesn't want your money. The church just wants you to listen to God and you do what you do. Listen, this isn't a brag statement on my part. I've never looked at the tithe records of this church. I have no idea who gives. I don't know who doesn't give. Every time we have a board member who is nominated to become a board member, I should say, I ask him two questions. I said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit and do you give to the church? I've never looked at the records to confirm. They either say yes or no. I never look at the records to see if they've done that. Listen, I think it's my responsibility for God to make me responsible for what I do and for you to be responsible for what God tells you to do. And that's the way it works around here. Now, I've heard other pastors say, oh, man, you need to get in there. Well, I'm sorry. That's not my heart. And I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't want to see you as dollar signs. I want to see you as a person with a heart and a desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. I'm not going to visit you in the hospital and go, oh, yeah, I better go see them. They give. I've heard that. You felt that. And I don't want to get to that point. So we're not going to go there. But here's why God talks about giving so much. It's because in Genesis, the Bible tells us that we're made in God's image. You know what God did? God started this whole thing in the New Testament with most of us by John 3:16. God so loved that He did what? He gave. He gave. God is a giver. Giving makes us more like Jesus. And a spiritually mature Christian gives. Now, listen, quit worrying about how much. We'll talk about different things like that in just a second, but that's usually where our heads rush to where we're going with that. Notice we've already taken up an offering. We've already taken an offering for our missionaries. I'm not going to dig into your pocket again. So quit worrying about I'm drumming up another offering before you leave this place. All right? If anything needs to change in your giving, it's going to be after the fact. And it's not going to be today, or I should say in the context of this service. God gives us this opportunity to be selfless instead of selfish. It's amazing how that works. I heard a pastor one time who was preaching, and he said this. He said, I have been preaching for 40 years. I've been a pastor for those 40 years, and I've never seen a couple that tithe get a divorce. I've never seen a couple who tithes give a divorce. Now, why do you say that, Pastor? Why do you bring divorce in it? I'm not bringing divorce in it. I'm telling you that when you have spiritual dynamics that you operate under God's guidance, it usually ends up to creating greater relationships and not worse relationships. What is the number one reason that people get divorced? That's right, mother-in-laws. Right. No, I'm just kidding. You wanted me to say that. No. What is it? It's not even sexual relationships. It is money. Money. Let's move on so you can feel better. We're designed in God's image, and we're happiest when we're serving and when we're giving. That's when you're happiest, when you're serving and when you're giving. Let me get to hear this. Why does God have us give? Why does He have us give? Why God has us give is simply this. It's a reminder that God owns everything. He wants us to give so that we can pray about that. And God says, let me remind you, I provided this. This is what I gave you. And now this is what I want you to do with it. He wants us to be reminded of all of that. Remember Psalms 24:1, once again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. We are the managers. He is the owner. The other thing, and we divorce ourselves from this because somehow we allow giving to be painful, but it's an act of worship, praise and worship, if you will. Now listen, if you've been at some of those churches, I'm sorry, I'm just not that church. The Bible says that we should be a cheerful giver. And I was in one church one time, they said, God says we should be a cheerful giver. I think we should be a hilarious giver. And everybody was just on cue. They went, wah, wah, wah. They started laughing at that. These people have fallen off their rocker. They are nuts here. What is this? And it was that way, their way of just acknowledging that, hey, we're going to be cheerful in doing this thing. And that was good. I'm just glad I didn't live there. But the Bible says in the Greek that word cheerful giver literally does mean hilarious. Isn't that amazing? That we should be so overjoyed that it almost makes us giggle, if not break out in a belly laugh, because God wants us to give. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do that. We're good with all of that. The other thing is, believe it or not, it's spiritual warfare. I'm going to tell you what. When you hold on to this 50, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Here it is. I'm okay. Whoa. Scared me half to death. Yeah, still got it. All right. When you grab this 50, there is a war that goes on. I'm telling you, it really is. There's a war. And you know what? If you grab my 50, it might be more than a war. And that would be the way with you too, right? We don't like it when people rip us off. We don't like it when people deceive us. We don't like it when people take things from us that doesn't belong to them. It better be leaving my hand because I'm giving it instead of you grabbing it. But there's a spiritual warfare. Malachi 3:11 says this, because I'm going to tell you, Satan loves a good financial struggle. He loves it. He loves it. You know, it's amazing. Malachi 3:11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field." Satan wants you to be absolutely just poverty-driven. He wants you to be depleted. But the other part, you know what he really wants? He wants you to have so much money that you don't want to do anything with it, but you want to just hold it. You don't want to pray about it or anything else, because either extreme is horrible. You're in a very spiritual dilemma there. And Satan just loves to work in there and tell you how that God just wants this and God wants that and the church wants this and the church wants that. Let me tell you what, all God wants is you to just listen to His heart. That's all He wants to do. So what are God's instructions concerning giving? Let me wrap this up real quick. You've always heard about the tithe, the tithe. The tithe is simply a tenth of the increase. You can go to the Old Testament, several places in the Bible, and read this. Deuteronomy 26:12 says this, "When you have finished paying all of the tithe of your increase," how do you give? You give of the first fruits. The perfect picture is that, you know, when you get paid, or you have an increase, representing whatever, usually your paycheck is the best way to look at that. God says, you know what? Right off the top of that thing, take 10%. The problem is most of us, because we didn't grow up tithing, we've learned to pay all of our bills, and whatever we have left with, we'll either go to the store, or we'll go buy some clothes, or we'll go see a movie, and if we have anything left, we'll give something to God. And we got it all backwards. And we wonder why we have financial problems. God says these are the first fruits. The first thing that you should do is to give to Him. Now, I remember reading this. One person said, "When should I start tithing?" You know, and this guy gave him the illustration of a Canadian nursery, and they said they had a little part of their brochure that said, "The best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago. The second best time is today." Did that sink in? The best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago, but the other best time is today. You know what? If God wants to make some changes in the way that you treat your finances, today is the best time to do that. Remember, we've already taken up our offering, so quit worrying about it. Right? You're already sitting on your wallet. You buried your checkbook. Remember? Don't worry about it. I'm not after your money today. Maybe. You just needed me to say that, didn't you? You really needed me to say that. I'm really not. I'm never going to find out if you change anything in that or not. Do I tithe off the gross or the net, Pastor? Well, let me put it to you this way. Which one do you want to be blessed on? We need to quit thinking on that. Which one do you want to be blessed on, the gross or your net? Now, when I was growing up, I didn't know what gross or net was. I knew a $20 bill when my dad was handed to me every now and then. But then I started working, you know, and they started taking out taxes and all this other stuff. I'm going, hey, it says I made this much, and this is much I'm taking home. What's the deal here? And then I started tithing, and you know what? I remembered I finally had to realize, which one of these do I really want to represent me? And this is how much I made. This is how much I really paid. And Uncle Sam and these other people got this stuff. You know, all I did was change the number, but this is what I got paid. So I'm telling you, it's whichever one you want to be blessed on. That's all there is to it. Let me tell you something just from my heart. It's really cool. Whenever I have a financial struggle or whatever, and listen, I'm like anybody else. There's financial issues that happen to us. Hey, by the way, aren't you glad I'm preaching this the week of April the 15th? How, what a coincidence. Praise the Lord. Speaking of spiritual warfare, here's the deal. Whenever I really have a financial struggle, it's so cool to be able to go and pray. Say, Father, I have this pressing need. I really ask for your help here. And Lord, I am so glad. And I just want to remind you that I've been faithful in my giving. Now, that's not a bragging point. It's really more me saying, Father, I can expect you to answer my prayer because I have answered your prayer. I've listened to your call. I've been led by your Spirit. And since I've been obedient, I believe that you will be obedient and taking care of me. It's a pretty cool thing. I want to show you a cartoon that I found. It's kind of cool. It says here, here's the pastor. He's yelling at the song leader. It says, next time when I preach on tithing, don't sing Jesus Paid It All as our invitational hymn. And we like these cushion things and everything, but sometimes the titles of those hymns conflict with what we're really trying to get across. God knows how to take care of us, and He's going to take care of us. Where do you tithe, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm going to tell you, I am going to get a little preachy, a little pastory on this thing. You tithe to the local church. If this is where you're fed, we use that term a lot, then you tithe here. There's also offerings in the Bible. The offering is what you do above and beyond your increase. In other words, if you give 10% of your increase to the church and there's an offering, you know what we did today? We blessed Adam and Bethany in an offering today. We didn't ask you to do your tithe. Your tithe belongs to the church. Your offering is what you want to do above and beyond. Hey, send it anybody you want to. If he's a TV evangelist, right, wrong, or indifferent. If he's doing a good job or a bad job. If he's good, if he's illegal or illegal, I don't care. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's your offering. You do whatever you want to with it. But your tithe belongs to the local church. Here, let me also tell you this. I mean, a lot of you are really going to be happy about this. Tithing is not a heaven and hell issue. What do I mean by that? That means that if you don't tithe, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. But I'm going to tell you what, your mansion's going to look a lot better. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. You see, sometimes we tie it into this. You're just really a sinner if you don't tithe. Let me tell you what, I'm going to remember the time that I didn't know how to tithe. I didn't know anything about tithing. And there was this wonderful man who got into my life and he said, Dave, are you a tither? And I said, no, what is that? I literally had to ask him what that was, and he goes, and he explained it to me, and I said, no. And he goes, well, here, I wanted you to give you and Debbie a challenge. He said, I tell you what, for the next 3 months, he said, I want you to tithe. I want you to do exactly what I'm saying. And if there's a single bill in those next 3 months you can't pay, you bring it to me, and I'll pay it for you. I said, hey, come on, we'll do that, you know. And I literally expected there should be some bills that we couldn't pay because we did that, you know, rub two nickels or just to stay warm thing. We weren't paycheck to paycheck. We were bill to bill. I was literally wondering how I could do Visa and do MasterCard. That's where we were. We started tithing and we could pay every bill. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, like God really did what He said He would do. Kind of strange to me that happened. I'm telling you, God will do that with you too. You know what? This is just me. This is not the board, but I'll tell you what. You know, if you don't tithe, or if you're not tithing the way we're talking about, I challenge you to tithe for the next 3 months, and if things don't work out, you come back to us, and you know what we'll do? We'll refund your tithe. Is that fair enough? Fair enough? Hey, board members, can we do that? We're going to take a vote right here. Welcome to a board meeting of Claremore Assembly of God. Can we do what I just said that we would do? Unfortunately, I'm not God. And after today, I may not be the pastor. You know what? We need to laugh. You know why? Because the other side of this is tragedy. Really. Listen, I know that there's an awful lot of horrible things that are going on out there. People are dying because they're Christians overseas. ISIS and this, that, and the other. The whole presidential campaign. But I'm going to tell you what, underneath all of that, in this little bit of area called finances, Satan is winning war after war after war. And he's engaging in battle after battle after battle. And we dismiss it as no big deal. But I'm going to tell you what, that is where the freedom is going to come. That is where the freedom is going to come. And that's where your future is going to be had, right there. If you win those little battles, God will take care of all of the big ones. We already talked about what an offering is. We should never give with the motive that we're going to get. There's a trap out there, and we'll be real careful and a real respective of anybody that preaches what we would call a prosperity gospel. Because a lot of what they say is absolutely right. I'm not going to contest any of that. But if your motive is, I'll give because God says if I give, He'll give, then you've got the wrong motive. And you need to re-look at that. We are four things at once. We're an intelligent being. God wants us to use this head to do the right thing, the smart thing. We need to think these things through. We're a physical being. God gives us these abilities to go and work and perform these things, have a relationship. We're emotional. We talked about how emotional these things get with our money. I mean, we're attached to that stuff. We see it leave, we cry. We see it come, we get happy. There's all kinds of things that happen with that. But we're also a spiritual being. And that is the basis of what God wants to appeal to you to be a giver. God doesn't want you to have to give because the pastor said give. He doesn't want you to have to give because you feel like you're obligated or committed. He wants you to give because it's at the core of your heart and the core of who He is as your God and your Savior. That's what He wants to do. I want to end with Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure you use, it shall be measured back to you. Do you want God to treat you in His giving to you in the way that you give to others? There's this horrible, horrible story in the Bible where it's this guy who he owed a lot of money and couldn't pay it. So he went to court, and the judge was really angry with him. But he says, I tell you what, I'll let you off. I give you great mercy. But then he goes out, and there's this other guy that owed him some money. It wasn't a whole lot of money compared to what he owed and was forgiven of. And the Bible says that he grabbed him, he demanded the money. You know what? The judge found out about that, and he did something about it. Here's the thing I want you to understand. God doesn't need your wallet. God doesn't need your bank account. Doesn't need your checking account. Doesn't need your savings account. Because you know what? If God has your heart, He's got everything you own. You know what? If God's got your heart, then guess what you have? You have everything He owns. Why do we look at this backwards? Listen, I understand that, you know what, there are people in this congregation right now, they have been affected by the economy. Some of them are worried if they are still going to be affected by this economy. And if you have been a giver, God is going to take care of you. Because we need to turn this thing around, and instead of worrying about what we're supposed to do with what we've got, let's turn around and serve the one who says, hey, look what I've got, and I'll take care of you. I just need you to be a steward. Amen? Let's bow our heads. As you bow your heads and you're thinking about this, here's what I want you to focus on. You can focus on all of the conversation we've had about money and the definition and where you tithe and what a tithe is and what an offering is. But I want you to focus on just one thing as we conclude today, and that is your heart. Where is your heart? Not as where is your heart in conjunction with giving. Where is your heart in conjunction with a need? But where is your heart in conjunction with who Jesus Christ is? Because if there's anything that needs to change in our giving, it needs to start with where our heart is. If we give Jesus Christ our heart, not only does He cover our sin, not only does He forgive us of the indebtedness that we have in Him in the area of sin, but He will free us up in every other area of our life. He promises us that He will give and give and give. And that's why I'm so attached to John 10:10. He says, the thief, we talked about him earlier, the thief who loves financial conflict, he comes in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. But I Jesus Christ representing himself, but I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the realm of the abundance. I want to live in such a way that even though it goes through me and not just to me, that I feel the grace, I feel the favor, I feel the joy in my heart because God is saying, I am so pleased with you. And guess what? If you will be faithful in this little thing, if you will just tithe in what you have right here, I am going to bless you with big things. There is more to come. You know why? Because I can trust you. Why can I trust you? Because you've given your heart to me. So forget the wallet, forget the checkbook, look at your heart. Pull it out of your chest, hold it in your hands for a second, and ask yourself, does this heart belong to God? Because if it does, it's stain-free. If it does, it's sin-free. If it does, it's full. It's not full of greed. It's full of a nature of giving. It's full of the goodness of God, and it feels the favor of God. It's not a heavy heart. It's a light heart. It's a joyful heart. It's a heart that does want to do only one thing, and it's celebrate who our God and our Savior is. And that's who He is. So we're going to sing this one song, and then we're going to be dismissed today. I'm going to ask you to just pray about what we've talked about today. I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope you'll be excited about what God wants to do. I hope you'll be brave enough and courageous enough to trust Him to be the giver that He wants you to be. And even more. Stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song, I Give You My Heart. Once again, give Him your heart. Amen. And Pastor John's going to dismiss us. And I pray that you have a great, wonderful, happy day.